Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going. Hey, hey, teacher, what is up? How are you today? Thanks for listening. And if it's your first time, welcome, welcome. I hope you go back and listen to some other episodes. First of all, because today I'm going to refer to another episode just a little bit. And second of all, because there's so many good episodes to listen to. So I hope you will. Okay, so I know the year is coming to a close. For those of us who live closer to me on the East Coast, New Jersey, we go till like the middle of June. But a lot of other teachers in other areas are closer or more May or end of May. But it's coming, right? So I, though, still know that there are things that you are working with your writers, and I still want to be able to provide things that are going to be most helpful for you. So today I wanted to talk about conventions versus composition and that they don't have to fight. So before I really get into it, let me talk a little bit about this composition part. So first of all, like I said, I'm going to refer to another episode. So episode 57 was What Does Writing Mean to You? And this is where I really talk about what writing is and how it's not just the transcription, which is what you see on the page and actually the writing of the words and the letters, but also the composition. So the definition of to compose is to write or create, to make or form by combining things or parts or elements. And when you think about that, and you know, when you think about composition, it might be about music or poetry, but also, of course, writing. And when you think about that, it is so much more than just getting kids to write something down, right? For them to understand how to form sentences or how to form words or how to write letters. We need that part, obviously, but it's so much more than that. So episode 57 really dives into that a lot more. So please, if you haven't listened to it, go back and check it out. And I'll kind of refer to some of the things that I talked about in that episode here. But, you know, just think about artists coming up with a painting or a sculpture and a drawing and what comes of that composition of their art form. It is in no way just the strokes on the page, the techniques that they use when they are painting or drawing, or it is not just that. You know, think of what's coming to your mind, and I'm not an artist at all, but think about what would come to your mind if you're imagining an artist forming a work of art. Even music. Composing a piece of music with all the notes. What does that take? So think of what comes to your mind. I'm thinking feeling and thoughts, emotions. And then think about the decision making that comes with how they're going to paint or draw, how they're going to make the notes work together, where they're going to put different parts of it, you know. All of that has to do with writing as well. Even when it's not a feeling piece, like an emotional piece, there are things to put in there that are thoughts and how you work those thoughts together. And you have to be able to understand all the parts of that process, right? So I talk a lot about that in episode 57. Also, episode 51 is talking about editing. So you're going to hear some things about the conventions part of ways to edit or help your writers to edit. Okay, so that's what I want you to think about with the composition. And so when we're talking about conventions versus composition, the reason that I bring this up is because when we are used to focusing on the writing and not the writer, which is, you know, it comes from Lucy Calkins and I talk about it all the time. When we're used to doing that, conventions play a big role in how we look at pieces of writing of our students. We want to fix it or edit it. We want to be their editor. We want to, you know, and this is what stands out to you. So when you look at a piece of writing, you don't automatically see the craft muse or the lack thereof, right? You don't always see the planning that they put into it or didn't. You see the words on the page. And so you're going to see the spelling or misspelling. You're going to see the missed conventions or misplaced conventions like punctuation and commas. Well, that is punctuation, sorry. Or the sentence structure. That's what you're going to see. And that's what we tend to focus on. So one of the things that I have dealt with or talked to teachers a lot about is that that's not the only thing. And I've tried to, you know, think about all the different reasons why we want to focus on that or we want to pay attention to it. And I think this idea of teaching the writer is one of the things that helps the most, because instead of going and fixing up everything and editing everything, we think, what do our writers need to know about being able to use these conventions or spell words correctly, which is part of conventions? What do they need to know? And so knowing that, then we want to help them to get better at it, instead of just trying to perfect their piece. Now, again, and I talk about this probably in the editing episode, and how, yes, there are times when you want to publish a piece in a certain way that, you know, if it really is going out for print in some way, you might want to work more with them on the editing, and that's fine. That's something to do, and there's a place for it. But just thinking about it in a different way as far as what the students are able to do on their own, because our job is not to help them have this perfect piece. Our job is just to continue to help them grow so that their pieces get better and better. So because that's what we see, it tends to be what we focus on, and therefore the composition part of writing is missed. It is not a part of the teaching as much as it should be. But I know that both of these aspects of writing can work together. So we're going to talk about a few ways to help make sure that that can happen. So first of all, my last episode talked about the performance zone versus the learning zone. And I talked about it mostly for teachers. But when you think about students and our little writers, we want to make sure that we're allowing time for them to be in that learning zone as well. We know that they need lots of time for writing, and a lot of that time is going to be drafting and revising, I should say. And that is the learning zone there, right? We don't want everything to be perfect. We don't want them to feel like it needs to be perfect. And so they should be spending a lot of time in that learning zone. And then even when they get to where they're editing and publishing, and I will talk about editing being throughout the process as well, but we also want them to realize that this is still a learning zone for them. You know, yes, you're going to pull pieces where you take grades from them, and that's fine. But there's never perfection. You know, they are still learning to write. There's never going to be perfection. And so how I see this working is that when students, even when they do get to the point where they are publishing it, and I say they very strongly because they are the ones doing this, you might coach them and teach them a little bit of how to edit in a better way or publish in the best way that they are able, but they are doing it. And so when you ask them to edit and they've learned different strategies for editing, then you say, okay, now you're going to go do that. Instead of you saying, here's a misspelled word, here's a misspelled word, here's a missed punctuation, here's where your sentence doesn't make sense, and you going through and showing them and having them fix it or showing them how to fix it, that is turning into teaching the writing and not the writer. So we are making sure that they're in the learning zone as much as possible, but also remembering that even when they're publishing, we're not expecting perfection, and us correcting everything for them is not teaching them anything. Okay, so that's about performance and learning zones. I just wanted to put that out there. And then also the next part I was thinking of is just that they can do both. You can teach them conventions and composition. It is very possible. First of all, not necessarily first of all, no particular order, but when they are drafting, you want them to kind of revise and edit, or at least maybe edit like as they go. And depending on the grade level and what you've taught them about editing, this will look different. But once they have those techniques in them, you can teach them that as they write a little bit, whether it's a sentence, because they're still in kindergarten and they're doing about a sentence, you know, a sentence is a lot for them, or a page, they can go back and reread it, which is a big revision strategy. And as they reread it, what do they notice? So even if they're not ready, say they notice they know something's spelled wrong and they want to do that better later, they could at least circle it and come back to it. I think it really helps them too with always wanting to get it right. That might give them a strategy for that, so they're not worried about it so much. They know there's going to be a time to really edit it, you know, to the best of their ability. But also just, hey, I just wrote this. Let me reread it. Do I need a period? You know, or is there a comma needed in this sentence? And so editing can come often. You can also have a time during the week where you know you're going to do like a mid-workshop teach where you have everyone get out their editing checklist and give their writing a check. You know, it could be if they just started one, they could go to one they've done earlier in the week and give it a check just to practice it. They can do it with a partner. They can do it just for one thing. So if you've really been working on how to find where a period goes, or if you've really been working on independent clauses and you want them to go through and check it, then you can do that. And so you can find ways to put it in, especially just for yourself, so you know you're not worrying about it as much and only focusing on it. Then you can say, okay, I know I'm going to hit it here. I know that I'm going to ask them to reread as they are drafting or what have you. And then what kind of goes along with that is that you can plan your lessons for both. And if you feel like for composition and conventions, and if you feel as though you're stronger in one right now and you're forgetting the other, you know, throw it in there, add it in. So when you go and plan your unit, if you, or even if you're going through and adjusting a unit because you're provided something, you can go in and see how many of these are composition lessons and how many of them are conventions lessons. Some programs are way heavier on the conventions. Some are more heavy on the composition. Some might not do much teaching for both. So that's another aside, that sometimes we think that we are teaching something, but really we're just assigning it. We're saying, okay, hey, this is what your writing can look like. Go ahead and try it. But we haven't actually given them any strategies. Maybe we've shown them, here's how I write my ending, or here's how I do this, but we haven't actually given them strategies in order to do it, or give them mentor text in order to show them how to do it. So that's a whole nother topic. However, I just wanted to make sure I put that in there as well. But when you plan things out, you look and see, do I have lessons for both? Do I have strategies for both? Do I have accountability for both things? And so when you have your students turn in a piece, or just throughout the week or throughout the unit, you say, okay, remember, you know, one of the things we've really been working on is a convention thing, or one of the things we've really been working on is having voice in our piece. And those are things they can continually check for. And then that brings me to having different goals for different students. And so if you're just now getting started in this type of writing instruction, you aren't necessarily going to have a goal for every kid. However, you may have goals for the class or for the unit based on your baseline writing pieces and observations, or you might at least be able to have some small group goals. And that doesn't even mean that you have to teach them in small groups, but just that you know there's a handful of students who, you know, are really engaged and they seem to really be able to focus on their topic, but their structure is really not as strong as it could be. And so you know that's their goal. But then you might have other students who, for where you are in the year and for what you've taught, everything is seeming to be going very well. structure-wise and focus-wise, engagement-wise, and even using some craft moves or elaboration, and yet things are hard to read because of their spelling, or things are hard to read because they have no punctuation. And then that can be a goal for them. And so when you identify a few students and you can at least say, okay, I have like three groups of kids, four groups of kids, and these are the goals that I'm going to kind of work on. And you let them know about that. So when it's time for them to check, that's what they might be checking. And you're also then holding them accountable because they have goals that you're checking on, and then they're making sure that they're trying to meet those goals and do the work in order to become better in that area. One tool that I have always found very helpful for trying to decide which goals are better, and also really just kind of really helping to take the focus off of just conventions, is Jennifer Saravalo's Hierarchy of Writing Goals from her Writing Strategies book, or the Writing Strategies book. I've spoken about it many times before, but it's a great resource. Check it out. Get the book. It's amazing. But what I was also going to say is, one of the areas I've noticed where it's very difficult to not focus so much on conventions is like kindergarten and first grade, where your students are emergent writers. And so much of what they need to learn is how to write letters and words. And so I really often see, and not always to the fault of the teacher, but just to the program they're given or to the expectations of their school, that we just want to see that they can get words on the page or sentences. And, you know, a lot of times it's sentences, even in kindergarten. Well, they're not writing sentences yet. And a lot of that has to do with understanding writing development. So if you feel as though you're not very strong in that, I would definitely do some research on development in writing. There are many stages, and it does not go from learning letters to writing sentences. But I find that it's difficult because, you know, that's what you want to see. And also you feel like you're not teaching writing if they aren't writing letters and words on the page, but that's not true. And this is where the composition part comes into play, where they need to understand what stories are, what informational writing is, what opinions are. They need to be able to say it, articulate it, think, you know, get their thoughts out. They need to hear it. They need to have mentor texts. And then some of them need to draw it. Some of them need to draw it and scribble it. Some of them need to draw it and label it. And there's all these different steps. And yet, if we don't teach all of those things, we don't teach them how writers come up with ideas and how writers, you know, take their thoughts and try to put them on the page, even in drawings. And if we don't teach them that, then they're only going to know how to put letters and words down. They're not going to know how to compose a piece of writing. So that part is so important. But I know that when you're teaching those emergent writers, it's difficult to feel like you're doing anything when you're teaching lessons about the composition, because you want to see the writing too. And so I really think that in the lower grades, and this is my belief, that it needs to be very back and forth. One, it needs to be very back and forth. I teach some composition. I, you know, talk to them about the writing part. And so when you're modeling writing or doing shared writing, you're really thinking about how much am I focusing on the composition part and how much am I focusing on the actual writing part? Because almost always teachers will want to sound out the words and do all this phonemic awareness or phonics work, when that's not the only thing. We also have to have them look at how to compose the piece. That's number one. And then number two, for those lower levels, kindergarten and some first grade, I would say that you also have to realize that reading and writing are going together. And so much of what you're doing in phonics and in reading instruction is coming out or going to come out in writing instruction, and that your writing instruction can be your assessment for the reading and phonics instruction. And so when you notice that students are writing three letters in their words and there's, you know, four graphemes, then you know that they need work. Or maybe they're missing that ending sound or the middle sound. Do they never write vowels? Then you know that's something you need to work on in the phonics instruction. And so it's a great daily assessment of that. So that's really helpful, I think, to think about as well. Okay, I feel like I've been a little bit all over the place in this episode, so I hope it doesn't sound like that to you. I hope that this was helpful when thinking about trying to balance conventions and composition. Please know that they aren't fighting. They work together. We just don't want to forget one of them, the composition part. Please don't forget that part. And so I'm going to leave it at that because I've already talked more than I thought I would about this topic. And I really hope you have a great day.